Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastama Vidyavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So, page 15. Kavi to Maharaj Nimi, Srimad Bhagavatam 11, 2, 43 and 33. My dear King, the devotee who worships the lotus feet of the infallible personality of Godhead with constant endeavor thus achieves unflinching devotion, detachment, and experienced knowledge of the personality of Godhead. In this way, the successful devotee of the Lord achieves supreme spiritual peace. Sri Kavi said, I consider that one whose intelligence is constantly disturbed by his falsely identifying himself with the temporal material world can achieve real freedom from fear only by worshipping the lotus feet of the infallible Supreme Lord. In such devotional service, all fear ceases entirely. Right, so devotional service brings one to the platform of fearlessness. Right, nothing else can. Right? Avihotra Tamaraj Nimi, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3, 48. 51-53. Having obtained the mercy of a spiritual master, who reveals to the disciple the injunctions of Vedic scriptures, the devotee should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the particular personal form of the Lord the devotee finds most attractive. The devotee should gather whatever ingredients for worshiping the deity are available. Make ready the offerings, the ground, his mind, and the deity, sprinkling his sitting place with water for purification, and prepare the bathing water and other paraphernalia. The devotee should then place the deity in his proper place, both physically and within his own mind. Concentrate his attention and mark the deity's heart and other parts of the body with tilak. Then he should offer worship with the appropriate mantra. One should worship the deity along with each of the limbs of his transcendental body. His weapons, such as the Sudarshan Chakra, his other bodily features, and his personal associates. One should worship each of these transcendental aspects of the Lord by his own mantra, and with offerings of water to wash the feet, scented water to wash the mouth, water for bathing, fine clothing and ornaments, fragrant oils, valuable necklaces, unbroken barley corns, flower garlands, incense and lamps. Having thus completed the worship in all its aspects in accordance with the prescribed regulations, one should then honor the deity of Lord Hari with prayers and offer obeisances to him by bowing down. Yeah, because devotional service and practice. So here's Avihotra has just summarized the whole process of deity worship in these three verses. Because that includes everything. The details, now that will fill a book, but everything is there in what he's just said. Sudama Brahman thought, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.81.19. Devotional service to his lotus feet is the root cause of all the perfections a person can find in heaven, in liberation, in the subterranean regions, and on earth. Because whatever benefit you're trying to get, it's already there in Krishna. Right? So if you're serving Krishna, you already have those things. Because otherwise, what is there? In heaven, what do you get? The facility. The main point is the facilities is the enjoyment of that. Right? So Krishna is Ananda. So whatever you're looking for there, it's coming from Krishna. Liberation, he's on the transcendental platform. It's already included in his association. Right? The subterranean regions, all their different aspects that they'll do, the different mechanical aspect, it's already included in the activities of devotional service. Right? And on earth, then we see the pastimes here where we don't necessarily have all the mystical and this and that, all those aspects, just that simple lifestyle and all that, then that's also included. So whatever benefits that you get from any of these positions, you get by worshiping the Lord. So, The sages at Kurukshetra to Vasudeva, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.84.37. This is the most auspicious path for a religious householder of the twice-born orders, to selflessly worship the personality of Godhead with wealth honestly obtained. Right? So the idea here is why he mentioned the twice-born, because if the Shudra takes it up and is a devotee, then they're already on the devotional platform, so then they're included. But the point is that the religious household, the twice-borns, they're supposed to selflessly worship the Lord. Now if the Shudras assist them, they're engaged in that same worship. Mm-hmm. So they're already included. Yes. And if on their own they can do that, then all the better. Yes. Yeah? So yeah. Shri Krishna to Uddhava, Srimad Bhagavatam 11, 34-36.
Maharaj, regarding deity worship, it mentioned that one should worship deity and then the weapons such as Sudarshan Chakra and others. Hmm. So, in our system, Shodashaksha, which are the...
This weapons? Is the... means it's all in 16.
It's all in 16.
Because that one is all the concluding activities. Right, it means your first, I think, seven are your preliminaries. And then you have the main worship. And then you have the 16th one is the conclusion. The sages at Kurukshetra, unless I'm mixing the first seven with, what do you call it?
Dasamu.
Because then you have... Asanam, Swagatam, Padyam, Argyam, Achamaniyam, Madhu, Parka, Punarashana, seven. Same. My dear Uddhava, one can give up false pride and prestige by engaging in the following devotional activities. One may purify oneself by seeing, touching, worshipping, serving, and offering prayers of glorification and obeisances to my form as the deity and to my pure devotees. One should also glorify my transcendental qualities and activities, hear with love and faith the narration of my glories, and constantly meditate on me. One should offer to me whatever one acquires, and accept oneself as my eternal servant. One should give oneself completely to me. One should always discuss my birth and activities, and enjoy life by participating in festivals, such as Janmashtami, which glorify my pastimes. In my temple, one should also participate in festivals and ceremonies by singing, dancing, playing musical instruments, and discussing me with other Vaishnavas. Shri Krishna to Uddhava, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.27, 16-18, 33-45-46. In worshipping the temple deity, my dear Uddhava, bathing and decoration are the most pleasing offerings. For the deity traced on sacred ground, the process of tattva vinyas is most dear, right? So you have eight kinds of deities. So Krishna is now mentioning which aspects of the deity worship of these 16 items is important, or which processes are important of which deity, right? So for the archa, then bathing and decoration are the most pleasing offerings, right? So if, just like, let's say, for example, one has a deity, But one wants to have a deity, but one doesn't want to bathe the deity, mm-hmm. right? Just because you don't, you know, whatever, you know, time constraints or this or that. So what it's pointing out here is that the archa deity, that likes bathing. So if you want to not do bathing, but you want to worship, then another form would be better. Yes. Right? Because in other forms, you don't have to do these things. It'll be done, but just with water. You don't actually physically have to go through it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So he's just pointing out.
And what is this for the deity traced on sacred ground?
Yeah, it means that you draw the deity on the ground and then do the worship. Okay. Like if you're just traveling, nothing that, you're sitting under a tree, you just draw the deity on the ground and do all the worship and everything, and then afterwards, then you move on. Like that. Sometimes even you see them go down to the beach and make them out of sand.
Yes, yes.
In the sand. It's the same principle. So the tattva vinyasa, so all the different, touching all the body with all the different mantras to invoke all the things, then that's the most important. Oblations of sesame and barley soaked in ghee are the preferred offerings to the sacrificial fire. Right, so that's what they like. So don't make do the yajna without ghee and barley and sesame. They like that. If you can't get it, you have replacements. But the point is you're always trying to do that aspect. Right? You do all the technical rituals but don't offer ghee and the other things, then that's not going to be pleasing. Right? The technical are to support that you're going to offer ghee and barley and sesame. Right, so you see, Prabhupada had that. We use ghee and we use barley and sesame, even though other things may be very simple. Mm-hmm. But it was there. So the essence. Whereas worship consisting of upasthana and argya is preferred for the sun. Right, so when you do the Ganga and all that, and you take your bath, you do Gayatri, and then the tarp, it's all those things. One should worship me in the form of water by offering water itself. So when you install the deity in a pot, right, because it's a water pot, then everything's done with water. Right? Actually, whatever is offered to me in faith by my devotee, even if only a little water, is most dear to me. Right. So then any of the forms, then worshiping in that way with water, it's the devotion that's there. So the point is these are the technical rituals, but it's the devotion that actually pleases the Lord. So even if all these things you just offer water, it'll work. Right? But, why do a fire sacrifice and then only offer water? Right? Not going to. Even very opulent presentations do not satisfy me if they are offered by non-devotees. But I am pleased by any insignificant offering made by my loving devotees. And I am certainly most pleased when nice presentations of fragrant oil, incense, flowers, and palatable foods are offered with love. Right, so, for the deity form, these are the main things that are appreciated. Right, so it says you have the bath, your decoration, so you have nice clothes like that, then nice oils, incense, flowers, palatable foods. These are the things that are the main of the 16 items that are pleasing to the Lord. But of all that, it's one, is devotion. Yes. The worshipper should faithfully present me with water for washing my feet and mouth, fragrant oils, flowers, and unbroken grains, along with incense, lamps, and other offerings. The devotee should offer homage to the Lord with all kinds of hymns and prayers, both from the Puranas and from other ancient scriptures, and also from ordinary traditions. Praying, O Lord, please be merciful to me. He should fall down flat like a rod to offer his obeisances. Placing his head at the feet of the deity, he should then stand with folded hands before the Lord and pray, O my Lord, please protect me, who am surrendered unto you. I am most fearful of this ocean of material existence, standing as I am in the mouth of death. Uddhava to Sri Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.6.46. Simply by decorating ourselves with the garlands, fragrant oils, clothes, and ornaments that you have already enjoyed, and by eating the remnants of your meals, we, your servants, will indeed conquer your illusory energy. Sri Krishna to Uddhava, 11.11. Thus, my dear Uddhava, in the same material body, we find opposing characteristics, such as great happiness and misery. That is because both the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally liberated, as well as the conditioned soul, are within the body. Right? So you can understand here is that we're the cause of the misery part. Right? I shall now speak to you about their different characteristics. One should consider oneself to be my humble servant, without duplicity, and thus should help to clean the temple, which is my home. First one should sweep and dust thoroughly, and then one should further cleanse with water and cow dung. Having dried the temple, one should sprinkle scented water and decorate the temple with mandalas. One should thus act like just like my servant. Right, so these are nice things. You're sweeping and dusting nicely. Then after that, you're going to use water to cleanse. Mm-hmm. Right? Then after, in some way to purify. Then after that, then one should sprinkle scented water, make mandalas and all, so then you're giving a nice fragrance in that. So the first thing is you're getting rid of all the dust, then you're wiping it so it's clean with something that's purifying. So here's cow dung is there, but we see Prabhupada a lot would use that eucalyptus oil, something that it has that purifying effect. Then having done that, now you sprinkle with water that's fragrant, like rose water or kevara water, like this kind of thing, like that. And then after that, then you make the mandalas for decoration and different kinds of, or alpana, these different things like that. A devotee should never advertise his devotional activities. Therefore, his service will not be the cause of false pride. One should never use lamps that are offered to me for other purposes simply because there's need of illumination. So you don't take the lamp off the deity's altar to, you know, light something. Or, you know, some sense, yeah. And similarly, one should never offer to me anything that's been offered or used by others. Whatever is most desired by one within this material world, and whatever is most dear to oneself, one should offer that very thing to me. Such an offering qualifies one for eternal life. Right, so these things, that whatever you desire and whatever is most dear, you offer that to the Lord. Right, because that's dear to you. By offering that, you get purified, so then one advances. So if whatever is dear to you is something worth offering to the Lord, then, you know, it may continue as you get purified. But if it's not, then you might find that it's not so important to you anymore as you get purified, so then that may not be offered. Then something else in the same kind of category that is of higher stature would be offered. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense? Too esoteric there? No? Okay. One who has executed sacrificial performances and thus pious works for my satisfaction. Let's say, like cooking, let's say you like things in the mode of passion. You're offering those to the deity. But as you get purified, you might find that you cut down on that and start, you know, preferring things in goodness. So it's just, you know, as whatever works for you, that's what you're offering. Does that make sense? But the whole point is it has to be devotion. It's not, see, I can offer, and it's not one of those. Yeah. One who has executed sacrificial performances and pious works for my satisfaction, and who thus worships me with fixed attention, obtains unflinching devotional service unto me. By the excellent quality of his service, such a worshiper obtains realized knowledge of me. Sri Krishna, yes.
Can we say that in deity worship, it can be in temple or in a house, we can have the desire to worship the deity, but actually it is also a descending process. Some other devotee more advanced can think that we are able to worship the deity.
We're always assisting in worshiping the deity. Like Prabhupada points out, it's when we make the offering that you put an asan there.
Yes.
So some have interpreted that's our asan and we sit on it. Others have interpreted that the deity's asan, they sit on it. But Prabhupada points out, no, that's the spiritual master's asan. So if you want an asan, you have to bring a different one. If you want the deity to have one, you have to have a different one. Yes. You know, it's like in Vrindavan, they put down the plates and then they put down asans for the deity.
Yes.
But there has to be, and then they sit on asans, but there still has to be one that's for the spiritual master. Because he's the one who's worshipping the deities and we're assisting.
Yes.
So that's the meditation. So in the yoga section of the five limbs of the deity worship, then in that point, that's where we're recognizing our position as servant of the Lord and technically as servant of the Lord. Like that. Does that make sense? So when that aspect is there, that you understand I'm assisting the spiritual master, then you're actually performing deity worship. If you think I'm worshiping the Lord, then you're not.
Yes.
You know, Krishna makes that point.
Yes.
That?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So there's always that aspect. That's why we put the picture of the spiritual master there, because we're worshiping through. That's why in the puja, then when you start the artik, you pick up, you have to purify the article, then you'll go through the parampara and then offer it to Krishna.
Yes.
Right, so now whether you use the same mechanical system of, you know, the 4-3-2, you know,
yes,
7
yes,
like that, or
yes,
like that, then or no, 4-3-1 or 4-3-3, I think, like that. Then you can do that on all of it,
yes,
but you don't need to. That's for Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
For everyone else, it doesn't have to be that technique. Just as some way of showing it. Since your hand's going in circles, you just go in circles. So, you know,
yes.
Like. So, yeah.
Maharaj, is it because I have seen that at least in France we do after the Guru, Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya, and after Krishna descending, and after we offer to Srila Prabhupada and after to the Guru.
Means on the way down, you showed whoever you showed on the way up, you show them on the way down.
Do we need two asan, one for Shri Prabhupada and for Guru? When we offer the boga, we have been a prasadam after we offer to the.
But that's just shown. You don't have to do a whole thing.
Yes.
So it's just their pictures are there anyway. So you just show it to them. No, you don't have to, because then when say, well, then what about, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati? Yes, right? Like, what about Lord Brahma? What about, you know, Narad Muni? You know, it's like that. So then you're going to end up, there'll be no space to sit, because the whole thing will just be asanas. Yeah. Or you have the little miniature asanas.
Yeah.
No.
They all sit on the bench?
They all sit on the bench.
Can they?
As long as there's a big enough bench. You know, like that. You know. But, you know. Yeah. So, yeah. So the point is we just do what's mentioned. We don't take it beyond. Otherwise, our mind gets a little bit out of hand sometimes. Because it seems logical. You know, it's just like, you know, how you say, I touch the thing that's impure, and that's my body. My body's touching the asana. The asana's touching the floor. That's touching the mud thing. That's touching the walls. That's touching the earth. That means my hand became dirty. The whole earth became dirty. And then you have the, what do you call it? Not cerebral winds, the celestial winds, and they're blowing through, so all the other planetary systems are there. So everything is ruined because, you know, I touched something impure. You don't have to do that, because the mind will do that. You don't have to. It goes by, you know. So you just go by what the Shastra says, that much. You know, so that's the thing. In areas where it's not necessary, we'll extend it, and where it is necessary, we'll say, "Oh, we're not fanatic." You know, like that. So it's fun. So it always seems to be as well. Prefer it makes sense to our own intelligence rather than we try to understand what we are given by the acharyas. Okay. So yeah. Next page means what page?
18, page 18.
Okay. Shri Krishna Uddhava, 11:19, 21-24. Great respect for my devotional service, offering obeisances with the entire body, performing first-class worship of my devotees, consciousness of me in all living entities, offering ordinary bodily activities in my devotional service, use of words to describe my qualities, offering the mind to me, rejection of all material desires, giving up wealth for my devotional service, renouncing material sense gratification and happiness, and performing all the desirable activities such as charity, sacrifice, chanting vows and austerities with the purpose of achieving me. These constitute actual religious principles by which those human beings who have actually surrendered themselves to me automatically develop love for me. What other purpose or goal could remain for my devotee? Right, so you see, these are what makes the devotional service. Like that. We generally tend to think, what's the ritual?
Yes.
But it's no, this is what makes the service.
Yes.
Then, according to what we're being given, then ritual is added to that to, you know, make it, sort of formalize it, or see that we regulate it, or see that we're performing it, or give us enough time to actually focus on the Lord. Right. Uddhava to Shri Krishna, 11:29-5. Therefore, O lotus-eyed Lord of the universe, swan-like men happily take shelter of your lotus feet, the source of all transcendental ecstasy. But those who take pride in their accomplishments in yoga and karma fail to take shelter of you and are defeated by your illusory energy. Right? So that's why we engage these things in the Lord's service, but it's their engagement that makes them glorious, not they themselves. Otherwise, one can become proud of accomplishments in yoga and karma. Right, because we've seen before, and Jnana also has the same problem. So anything that deals with the Lord's energies that we accomplished in, we tend to become proud. So it has to be that they're only in support of devotional service. Therefore, then, the tendency to become proud, proud is not there. And therefore, we don't mention them. Right? If it needs to come up, we may, but it's not. Just like, let us say, it's a very, I don't know about now, but previously, kind of like in the British culture, you didn't mention what you could do. If it came up in a conversation, then it might be, Yes. You know, oh, I heard you're good at that. Yeah, we try. You know, something like this. They'll affirm it, but they won't get into it. But let's say you go across the pond, and there then the point is that they'll let you know everything they can do, even though all we have to do is, you know, can you wash this pot? You know, they'll tell you everything. You know, they can fly a plane. They can do this. They can do that. You know, so it's recommended that the one doesn't discuss like this. And as it comes up, then you can do like that. So that's the thing, is that, you know, how you say, if you have an American friend, you know everything about them from the first time off, basically. But if the British, it may take years and years before you actually know what they can do. You know, you find out, you know, you just say, hey, let's go over to, you know, Paris for something like that. And you go over there, and you think, well, now what are we going to do? We don't speak the language. And then that British friend speaks fluent French. I didn't know you could speak French. You never ask, you know. So like that. It's just, that's Krishna's point, is that subtlety of not getting into it and not that like that. If it's needed, it comes up. But only how much is necessary, that's how much you use. You don't use more. Does that make sense? Yeah?
Can you actually learn how to deal like this, or is it just...
It's basically association. So we're associating. Krishna gives the point here, and then we know about it. And so that's what manana is. We accept it. See, if we don't accept it, it doesn't get past shravana. That's why many times we'll say, oh, but we tried varnashram, it didn't work, because they didn't accept it. You know? Because if you accept it, then with practice and contemplation it'll work. Because here, as soon as it doesn't work, I throw it out. So it's not manana. I mean, it's partly, you tried to apply, but it wasn't with contemplation. So it wasn't complete. You know? And that, so when we accept that it's correct, though we may not fully understand, then by practice, that's how we gain. So how that works, how much is used, then that will be seen. You know, so do you mention that more directly, or do you allude to it, or you just don't even say anything, or things like that? Because otherwise, the point is this, what will it do? Will it enhance devotional service? So just because you let someone know that you can do that, of what does it do for the service? If it does do something, like they're trying to do the service and they're doing it wrong, you're telling them how to do it, they're not listening, then maybe by saying, it says, hey, you know, I used to do this for 10 years, and so this is the way to do it. The way you're doing it will end up like this, 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 this. Mm-hmm. You know, so maybe by then they'll listen. But if just by saying, well, if you do like this, it'll, you know, it won't work, so you should do like that, it'll get this benefit. Then, if they accept it from there, why do you have to mention you did it for 10 years? Like that. You know, because you may think 10 years, and they'll go, wow, 10 years. And then you may go, only 10 years? My dad did that for 30. You know, like that. So then now you just lost your credibility. You know, so that's why it's only if it's actually useful, then you mention it. Because it's about the service. Because you want to avoid pride. So, my dear infallible Lord, it is not very astonishing that you intimately approach your servants who have taken exclusive shelter of you. After all, during your appearance as Lord Ramachandra, while great demigods like Brahma were vying to place the effulgent tips of their helmets upon the cushion where your lotus feet rested, right, not even on his feet, just on the cushion, you displayed special affection for monkeys such as Hanuman because they had taken exclusive shelter of you. Right, so Hanuman got more mercy than Lord Brahma and other demigods. Right? Like that. So that's why he's saying it's not so astonishing that you intimately approach your servants. Who then could dare reject you, the very soul, the most dear object of worship, and the supreme Lord of all? You who give all possible perfections to the devotees who take shelter of you, who could be so ungrateful knowing the benefits you bestow? Who would reject you and accept something for the sake of material enjoyment? which simply leads to forgetfulness of you. And what lack is there for us? We're engaged in the service of the dust of your lotus feet, right? So that's your definition of faith. Is that committed to the process of devotional service? And they have the understanding that by doing devotional service, there is no lack from any other department. Right? That comment, that makes faith. Because if you have the faith, don't apply it, then how much is there? You're applying it, but then think that something else is necessary. But you understand that the devotional process itself, if understood and practiced properly, then includes all other processes. Right? So everything from karma and jnana, you automatically get in bhakti. Right? Because you're saying, no, but unless you do this activity, you won't get this result. But what's the result for? Why do you want the result? Right? Right? Let's say you do an activity because it gets you a result. By that result, you become happy. Okay? Now, if by doing devotional service you become happy, you already have the benefit. It's just easier. It's direct, because now it's about Krishna. You don't have to go through something else to get to that point of happiness. Does that make sense? Yeah. Krishna to Uddhava, Srimad Bhagavatam 11:29. A person who gives up all fruit of activities and offers himself entirely unto me, eagerly desiring to render service unto me, achieves liberation from birth and death, and is promoted to the status of sharing my own opulences. Right? So it's not that it's about you and the opulences. It's sharing the opulences. It means Krishna's opulence is there. The Dham is not opulent. You're sharing the place with Krishna. But it's not about you separately. You know, he's got, you got. It's about, in the same pastime, you're going through the same aspects. Is that? Always remembering me, one should perform all his duties for me without becoming impetuous. With mind and intelligence offered to me, one should fix his mind in attraction to my devotional service. Yeah, so you're doing your duties for Krishna, but it has to remember that it's always Krishna's the central point. Not because I'm doing this, it has to efficiently work. Yeah. One should take shelter of holy places where my saintly devotees reside, and one should be guided by the exemplary activities of my devotees, who appear among the demigods, demons, and human beings. With a pure heart, one should see me, the Supreme Soul, within all beings, and also within oneself, to be both unblemished by anything material and also present everywhere, both externally and internally, just like the omniscient sky. Right, so it's the same kind of principle he's giving in the Chaturshloki.
Yes.
Just everything's all connected to him. You always see him. For him who constantly meditates upon my presence within all persons, the bad tendencies of rivalry, envy, and abusiveness, along with false ego, are very quickly destroyed. Because if you see Krishna there and he's controlling things, then you don't see them in a bad way. My dear Uddhava, because I have personally established it, this process of devotional service unto me is transcendental and free from any material motivation. Certainly, a devotee never suffers even the slightest loss by adopting this process. But whatever you would gain is gained in the process. It's not that it's lost. Oh, I could have been this. I've sometimes heard that said. Is that, you know, if I wasn't doing this service, you know, I'd be this big guy making so much money and this and that. But I kind of doubt it. Right? Does that make sense? You know, that's what we've projected. But the point is, there's no loss. That whatever is there, you'll get. And not only that, it'll be more. So in other words, in devotional service, if you're committed and do it for Krishna, then what you're gaining is greater than you would gain out otherwise. Right? But you always have to remember, it's the end result that's there, not the mechanical result. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, you have a temple president. He has no specific training or degrees or this or that. He's running the temple, and he's respected by the devotees in the community. But to get that same kind of, on the social platform, that same kind of respect, what would he have had to do in the material world? It would have had to have been very great and over a long period of time. Here, in a very short period of time, he has that position. Right? Yeah, so that's the whole thing. It's gained. It's already there. You could say, oh, I don't have the titles, I don't have this. You don't need them. You're already being respected. What's the point?
At that level, there is no false ego.
Yes, there's no false ego. Because otherwise, then, if we become proud of our material accomplishments, that's always going to be a distraction. Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Prakrit, Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4, 18-20. Maharaj Ambarish always engaged his mind in meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna. His words in describing the glories of the Lord, his hands in cleansing the Lord's temple, and his ears in hearing the words spoken by Krishna or about Krishna. He engaged his eyes in seeing the deity of Krishna, Krishna's temples and Krishna's place like Mathura and Vrindavan. He engaged his sense of touch in touching the bodies of the Lord's devotees. He engaged his sense of smell in smelling the fragrance of Tulsi offered to the Lord. He engaged his tongue in tasting the Lord's prasad. He engaged his legs in walking to the holy places and temples of the Lord, his head in bowing down before the Lord, and his desires in serving the Lord, all his desires in serving the Lord, 24 hours a day. Indeed, Maharaj Ambarish never desired anything for his own sense gratification. He engaged all his senses in devotional service, in various engagements related to the Lord. This is the way to increase attachment with the Lord and be completely free from all material desires. Yeah, so this is the main process. Right? Other technical things, they can support this as long as they do. But this is what you're the core ask of. Narad Muni to Maharaj Yudhishthir. Therefore, by enmity or by devotional service, by fear, by affection, or by lusty desire, by all of these or any one of them, if a conditioned soul somehow or another concentrates his mind upon the Lord, the result is the same. For the Lord, because of his blissful position, is never affected by enmity or friendship. Right? If the connection is to him, so he reciprocates. He deals in that area where you are. Just like Kamsa was inimical towards Krishna, Krishna came personally and killed him. Right? Does that make sense? So the whole point is that Krishna deals in that area that is there. So Krishna doesn't matter. It's a relationship. It's going on. It works. It functions. But it will be in the area of the reciprocation. Right? Narad Muni continued, by devotional service, one cannot achieve such intense absorption in thought of the Supreme Lord as one through enmity towards him. That is my opinion. A grass worm confined in a hole of a wall by a bee thinks of the bee in fear and enmity, and later becomes a bee simply because of such remembrance. Similarly, if the conditioned soul somehow or other thinks of Krishna, who is Satchidananda Vigraha, they will become free from their sins. Whether thinking of him as their worshipable Lord or as an enemy, because of constantly thinking of him, they will regain their spiritual bodies. Because it's constant. The point is that constant remembrance of the Lord. It will bring you to the transcendental form. Right? The Lord's transcendental, it will bring us to that transcendental position. Yeah.
Jiva Goswami uses this word to differentiate between Raga and Vaidhi Bhakti. That devotional service which Narad Muni is mentioning is Vaidhi Bhakti, and the other category which is mentioning is the Raga.
Means where it's simply out of affection. Yeah, so that's why he'll see, after mentioning all those, he'll say it works so nicely, let alone the process of being done in devotion by, you know, like Nanda Maharaj and others.
Even the enmity and all, which is constant, he categorizes that also in the Raag.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the point is that there's an attraction to the Lord, it's about the Lord. And so because of impurities, it's coming out improperly. So the point is that it's there. We, you know, that's the principle, but we don't have that, so we don't cultivate that. We cultivate what we're given. Kamsa, you didn't have to cultivate it. You know, Shishupal especially, since he was small, before he could talk, he didn't like Krishna. And he'd be grumpy about that. So as soon as he could talk, all he did was complain about Krishna. He didn't complain about other things. Right? That's all he did. So, you know, it's natural, I guess, like that. So it's raw. You know? So if it's not natural, you follow the Vaidhi, and then it comes to its position. Many, many persons have attained liberation simply by thinking of Krishna with great attention and giving up sinful activities. This great attention may be due to lusty desires, inimical feelings, fear, affection, or devotional service. I shall now explain how one receives Krishna's mercy simply by concentrating one's mind upon him. My dear King Yudhishthira, the gopis by their lusty desires, Kamsa by his fear, Shishupal and other kings by envy, the Yadus by their familial relation with Krishna, and we, the general devotees, by our devotional service, have obtained the mercy of Krishna. Right? So he puts himself just with the general devotees of going through the process. Somehow or other, one must consider the form of Krishna very seriously. Right? So the idea is that since we're in this category of general devotees, right, so then practicing devotional service or the sadhana, the bhakti, then we'll do that according to how it's been given to us by the acharyas. Otherwise, we have no idea. What we see is that yes, Kamsa, we're not Shishupala, we're not the Gopi. They just naturally were absorbed. So the point is that absorption in the Lord is what gives perfection. Right, so one should absorb oneself in devotional service. That's the idea. Not that you have to do it in enmity or fear or like this. The absorption in the Lord, that's what gets it done. So as we're the general devotees, we follow that process. You know, because that Narad Muni, then he's given that to Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva then has given it, you know, to the acharyas, who's given it to us. Somehow or other, one must consider the form of Krishna very seriously. Then, by one of the five different processes mentioned above, one can return home back to Godhead. Atheists like King Vena, however, being unable to think of Krishna's form in any of these five ways, cannot attain salvation. So it's not that, oh, we can be inimical, not follow the rules, this, that. Like, no, but the point is that it has to be thinking of Krishna. Because otherwise, Vena, he was an atheist, he made so much trouble, right? He's even mentioned in Manu Samhita, right? Like that. Therefore, we must somehow think of Krishna, whether in a friendly way or inimical. The point is it's about Krishna. You know, so that's why we have our process, we won't get disturbed. That's why then Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami is that you're there in Vrindavan, because he sent the, you know, his generals, the Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, to Vrindavan. But he said, you're in Vrindavan, you don't be associate too closely with the Brajavasis. They have a different system. Mm-hmm. Right? Because they're absorbed in Krishna, literally. But the practices that they may be absorbed in may not work for us. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why we have our system. We follow ours. Because it says any of the five. But that means it's not so for us. You just follow that one. Does that make sense? The personified Vedas to Mahavishnu, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87-23. Simply by constantly thinking of him, the enemies of the Lord attain the same supreme truth, whom sages fixed in yoga worship by controlling the breath, mind, and senses. Similarly, we Shrutis, who generally see you as all-pervading, will achieve the same nectar from your lotus feet that your consorts are able to relish because of their loving attraction to your mighty serpentine arms. For you look upon us and your consorts in the same way, because they're all Krishna's energy. They're all his servants. So the point, but it's the medium he reciprocates to, so as the Shrutis, he reciprocates in one way with his consorts, and it's another medium. Right? And we see is that those Shrutis who had that interest in reciprocating with Krishna in that way, then they became one of the groups of the Shrutichari gopis. Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Pariket, 10:33-36. When the Lord assumes a human-like body to show mercy to his devotees, he engages in such pastimes as will attract those who hear about them to become dedicated to him. Right? So that's the whole idea, is dedication to Krishna, that absorption in Krishna. That's then what devotional service is about. That's the essence. These other technical points, those are there. Those are described. But the essence is that it's about Krishna pleasing Krishna. Right? You're inspired. You're consistent. You're steady. Okay, chapter 13. Sadhana bhakti executed exclusively by taking shelter of, I guess, the holy name. Aikantiki namashraya sadhana bhakti. Riti. In chapter 13, the author stresses the importance of the chanting of the holy name as the yuga dharma, and the most important element of the process, and as the most important element of the process of sadhana bhakti. Yes, okay. As the yuga dharma and the most important element of the process of sadhana bhakti. That's the problem with English. Just depending on how you kind of, the inflection, it changes the whole meaning like that. Sukadev Goswami to Maharaj Prickett, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.15. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all-auspicious Lord Sri Krishna, about whom glorification, remembrance, audience, prayers, hearing, and worship can at once cleanse the effects of all sins of the performer. Yamarashtra's order carriers, Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.22. Devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is the ultimate religious principle for the living beings in the human society. Devahuti to Lord Kapila Dev, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.33.6-7. To say nothing of the spiritual advancement of persons who see the Supreme Person face to face. Even a person born in a family of dog-eaters immediately becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices if he once utters the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or chants about him, hears about his pastimes, offers him obeisances, or even remembers him. Right? Yes. Oh, how glorious are they whose tongues are chanting your holy name. Even if born in the families of dog-eaters, such persons are worshipable. Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices and achieved all the good manners of the Aryans. To be chanting the holy name of your lordship, they must obey at the holy places of pilgrimage, studied the Vedas, and fulfilled everything required. So someone also absorbed in devotional service means they've done all these other things also. And by doing that, it gradually has brought them to Krishna. So then being absorbed in Krishna, there's no need to go back. Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense? It's just like, let's say you have the potatoes already in the pot. You know, you're cooking them. You washed them, peeled them, cut them. Do you need to now pull them out of the pot and peel them? They're already peeled. You don't have to do that. So that's the whole point of all these other things. Is that all the planning, all the, you know, the marketing, all the kitchen cleaning, the preparation beforehand, that's all for cooking. So if you're cooking, means all the other things have already been, they're already included. Right? They're already, one, done, and two, they're also included. If I say I'm going to cook, it means all those. Someone says, oh, you're going to cook. Okay, great. But what about, you know, cutting the vegetables? Are you going to cut the vegetables? Of course I'm cooking. No. But it means there's cutting the vegetables. Are you going to be cutting the vegetables? You know, getting down there and actually get a knife out. I'm cooking. What do you think? You understand? This is the problem that comes up, is we think that devotional service just means that one little thing, sitting down chanting japa, but, you know, things like eating breakfast, and that's not devotional service. You know? So that is the difficulty that comes in, is that when you're dealing with the highest, it already includes the lower forms. It doesn't have to be something separate. Plus, it's also made the point, is you've already done that, that's why you're cooking.
Why is it different?
The difficulty seems to be is that people outside of the tradition, you know, dive into pure devotional service, and then it's like those who follow tradition, it's natural. But for those outside, it seems like it wasn't peeled, it wasn't washed, it wasn't cut. It's like it's a raw material.
Because means, it, but the point is if you'll if you're cooking, then with time you'll learn, right? Because in the cooking process, then since you have preparation, then you can learn that next time you can you peel and wash the potatoes rather than just picking up the sack and pouring it straight into the pot.
Yes.
I have seen that. Especially when they're boiling the potatoes. They don't even bother washing. They just throw them in there. Hey, you know, like this. But, you know, okay, get the extra nutrients from the earth that's in there. Yeah. Yeah, I know. But I haven't seen that since probably the 70s. So. So if one sticks to it, then the details will come, but you have to have that faith. Then they'll naturally come along. That's why it says the devotee has all the good qualities of the demigods. So it's just a matter of time. You perform devotional service, they'll come. But if it's seeing a lack of, let's say in this case, good qualities, that roughness and all that, so then we de-emphasize the devotional service to emphasize, you know, becoming refined and cultured and all that, then we actually will get neither. Then we're like that riven cloud that Arjuna talks about. Does that make sense? Because that's the point, is if it's in connection with devotional service, then anyone can attain the qualities. But if we're dealing with it on the material platform, then only if you have the material qualification can you gain those qualities. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the principle. It, devotional service includes the development of all the good qualities. It includes all the facilities that come with that. But if you're cooking your nicest for Krishna, then is the prasad nice? Right? So you don't have to make a separate endeavor to make it nice so when you eat it tastes nice. You just cook nicely for Krishna. Does that make sense? So, if you're taking care of the family nicely, according to what the scriptures recommend to please Krishna, does the family have nice facilities and arrangements? So you don't have to do separate. So this idea is that devotional service is one thing, and taking care of the family is something else. That means they're not very, they don't have as much knowledge about Krishna consciousness as they should. And so then the problem comes up is that they think that devotional service lacks something. No. Doing everything connected to Krishna and seeing everything connected to Krishna, that's then your advanced levels of devotional service, not being practical. Right? You can be practical for Krishna if that's the nature, but it's not that practicality itself is devotional service. If that was the case, then, you know, like the plumbers would all be Uttamadikaris, yes.
Yeah, we can see some devotees, they may engage in devotees for long years, but still we didn't see they have cultivated good qualities.
Yeah, it's just they need a few more years, that's all. Just like this. Okay, let us say, do you use potatoes in China?
Yeah.
Okay, let us say you drop a potato into boiling water. How long will it take for it to cook?
It takes like 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Yeah, okay. What if you drop some spinach into the boiling water? How long does that take to cook?
A few seconds.
Yeah, it means to drop it in, basically pick up the thing, you know, the spoon and take it out.
Yeah.
So it's just some take a little longer to boil. But the process will work.
Yeah, but some they even make some, you know, do some nonsense, you know, and
they're an older potato.
Really, you know, upset everybody. You know.
Yeah, anyway. So it just takes longer. At the end of the season, before the new potatoes come out, the ones that have been sitting in cold storage for a real long time, those ones can take forever to boil. Sometimes they never become soft. You know? Like that, they just take a real long time. I can remember, you know, like doing aloo dum, you know, you could have it ready in 20 minutes, but I can see sometimes it takes 45 minutes. Now what is there? There's things that affect. Now if I'm cooking the sauce, but I have something sour in the sauce, it'll slow down the cooking. Right? So if I put tomatoes in and I boil the tomatoes in the tomato sauce, it'll take forever. It will get cooked, but it'll take forever. Well, if I put the tomatoes later, then it'll cook very quickly.
It takes many lives.
Can, but the point is that if you just stick to the devotional process, it'll work. You don't need something else. You know? So you don't have to send them off to finishing school or something like that. I mean, you can, go for it. But the point is it's devotional service will take care of these things. You know, it just may not be in the area we work in. Let's say you have a farmer out in the field. Okay? Yeah. Bulls work out there very nicely with him. Right? Let's say that you work in one of those shops that sells porcelain. Right? Will the bull be a good assistant there?
No.
No. You don't know the saying. There's an English saying, the guy's like a bull in a china shop. No, no, because they'll call it something else. Because that kind of porcelain you make into plates and cups, in English you call it china.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so then, you know, if you have a bull in there as the shop assistant, it won't work so good.
Yeah, it'll destroy everything.
Yes. So therefore, he may need to be in a place where it's not going to bother you. So you say he's bothering everybody. You have to find that position where he doesn't bother everybody. You know, like, so, you know, like driving the truck down to the wholesale market and picking up the potatoes. You know, but once it gets to the temple, then someone else deals with it. Now, in a sense, you just have to find where it works. That's the whole point of Varnashram. Then you just know how to situate someone so that they're, what they're doing, it works for that. Right? It's just like, let's say you run a, what do they call it? You know, the companies that do the repo work? You know, repo men?
No.
Repossession? You know, you come home after work and the guy's loading your Ferrari onto a truck and driving off with it, and doesn't matter what you say or do, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Hmm? Yeah. So, you know, those guys, they just don't care. It works for them. Right? Now, if you put a gentleman there, then you come and say, no, please, this, it would be hard for him to do his job. So everybody has their position where they do very well. Right? Like once, see if we can say it. I think it was Tenaliram. I think it was Akbar, someone sent this guy down. Big, huge, gorilla kind of a guy. Totally uncultured, rough, but strong and big as anything. And he came into the court and delivered some message like that. And very rough and nasty. And then someone else made a comment about it. Immediately he pulled out his sword. Like that. Didn't even think. He's a messenger, right? Messengers aren't supposed to do that. So then they subdued him and all that. And then they, you know, ministers are saying, you know, we should get rid of this guy. And Tenaliram said, no, no, we should keep this guy. Give him all facilities, set him up, give him a house, give him all facility, all money, all good food, clothes, you know, just really, you know, make the guy feel really appreciated. And all the other guys are going, why would you do that? He says, you'll see. And so then they did that, and the guy became very loyal and everything, and he was right there and that. And then at some point, some king attacked. You know, another one, the Mughal kings are like that. And they're set up camp outside, you know, because generally they set up camp outside to let you know they're there, so you can just come out and surrender and save them the trouble. Or if not, then you can fight. So they sent this guy out, right? And, you know, and that. And they sent him, so he goes to the tent of the command, you know, the king who's there, and he says, you know, this and that and so many things, and, you know, he gave the message. And so the king gets insulted and then says something back to him and insults him like he's a real idiot. Immediately he just pulls out his sword and cuts off the head of the king. Right? And then all the other guys that are around him, that they killed that guy. But the point was they got rid of the king, and so the army left. You know, so Tanali Ram, you know, you have to know who's good for what. Prabhupada mentions that. You have to know Krishna consciousness. You know, to be in the leadership position, you have to know Krishna consciousness, and you have to know Varnashram. You have to know how people's nature, how they fit. That's it. So it's just he's situated in the wrong place, so therefore he bothers everybody. But put him in the place where he fits, then he won't bother anybody. Which may might be, you know, how you say, on the totally out there in the desert, and you know, in the Gobi Desert on the western side of China. But you know, whatever it is, and, you know. But, does that make sense?
Yeah.
You can go to Xi'an, preach to the terracotta warriors. You know, something you can do. You know? Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Pindandi.